I want to go there, and he doesn't want to go there today. He started it today with me and I. He wants to go there. I say they want to do it now.
Look at this guy. What is that very high?
Hey. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I have my Fit Food, I have my Purple Stick, and I have my one scoop of collagen, which you guys have basically bought out of the large size already. So you guys are amazing.
And I've made an absolute
well,
mess.
Well, no, they want. You did make a mess. But they, if you want to have fingernails like talons and skin like a youngster, you can use collagen and vitamin C.
And a full head of hair.
And I've got a full head of hair. And I just went to the office yesterday, and I got my second can of powdered vitamin C.
You're burning through that stuff, aren't you?
Well, I went through the first can. Right? I scoop a day. It's great stuff. Well, yeah, no, two scoops a day.
Two scoops a day. So that's about five grams.
2,600 milligrams.
Oh, it's great. I love it.
Vitamin C.
Oh, by the way, you'll love this. It crowd writer Graham Lyham says he was arrested in London by armed police over transgender critical tweets.
Whoa. He got arrested for a tweet?
Yeah, he said award-winning Irish comedy writer Graham Lyman said he was arrested in London criticizing transgenders. The creator of celebrated comedy programs, including Father Ted. I like that. An IT crowd said on Tuesday that upon recently arriving at Heathrow Airport, he was met by five armed police officers who arrested him over three tweets.
At Heathrow.
Hmm?
So let me clarify this. He landed in Heathrow. Five LEO met him because he put three tweets out.
In a country where pedophiles escape sentencing, where knife crime is out of control, where women are assaulted and harassed every time they gather to speak, the state had mobilized five armed officers to arrest a comedy writer for his tweet. And no, I promise you, I'm not making this up, Lyman wrote on his Substack. According to the Irish writer, the post for which he was arrested included one in which he argued that biological men who enter female-only spaces are committing a violent and abusive act. He's right, by the way. Make a scene, call the cops. If all fails, punch him in the balls, Lyman suggested. Another included a photograph of an LGBTQ rally in London where Lyman captioned, "A photo you could smell." The third apparently offending post said, "I hate them, misogynists and homophobes." I'm not going to finish what he said. According to the writer, sole condition for his release was that he no longer posts on Elon Musk's ex-social platform. So they took him off of Twitter. Yeah, he can't. But he goes, when you open up about the newspaper and you see the words used about sexual offenders who have suddenly decided they're women and the words her penis comes up, I see something like that and I just think, well, I'm right and everybody else is wrong. I was arrested at the airport like a terrorist, locked in a cell like a criminal, taken to the hospital because the stress nearly killed me, and banned from speaking online all because I made jokes that upset some psychotic cross-dressers, he remarked.
What?
He said psychotic cross-dressers. Okay? To me, this proves one thing beyond a doubt. The UK has become a country that is hostile to freedom of speech, hostile to women, and far too accommodating to the demands of violent, entitled, abusive men who have turned the police into the personal goon squad. The Black Books writer has become one of the leading voices against the transgenders movement in Britain and Ireland. However, this has also come with a cost, with multiple stage shows having been canceled due to his gender-critical views. So I think a man's a man. We're canceling your stage show. No refunds.
We're meeting you at the airport with law enforcement. I mean,
we're going to arrest you and put you in the hospital because you stressed out so bad. We're going to put you in a cell like a criminal. And you're like, wow, okay. And then in Sweden, just to give you an update, 25% of women are terrified to leave their homes. Terrified.
25%? Mm-hmm.
They can be raped in public with no intervention. Nobody stops it. In England, as I write, there are massive protests of Englishmen against the British government that refuses to do anything about the immigration invaders, organized rapes of white English girls. The situation is so bad that if British men were men, they would be practicing vigilante justice. This is Paul Craig Roberts. I suppose it's possible that white men are so brainwashed and so indoctrinated, so overloaded with racial guilt, that they will rush off to defend the gangbangers who rape their daughters and wives. As I am certain Russians and others are wondering, are there anywhere any white men who would fight for the countries whose governments have demonized them and made them into second-class citizens and subjected their women to sexual lust of immigrant invaders? How come the U.S. and Europe field armies that would fight against their liberation by foreign forces? If Putin were to take over the U.K., it would be a liberation of ethnic British. The West will have hell to pay once the Russians and Chinese realize the West comprises a wet paper bag. Wow. You know the thing that's
25%
are terrified.
They
won't leave their homes.
There's a simple thing. You know, I always say this, you know, for pedophiles and rapists. There's also another one. There's one that works really well. It's, you know, it's that one.
Well, you can't have that in England. Remember, the rapists and the muggers go around with knives, and that's how they do all
this. That's right. That's why we have the Second Amendment.
They don't have that in England.
They have nothing in England.
Yesterday,
anymore.
I spoke to a lady, and she basically was married to a British guy. And she goes, I really think he was gay. They were married 7 years. And she finally said,
Seven years.
Oh, she said the guy was like, you know, not even really interested in women. He was just a weirdo. And I've seen that in Britain over and over and over again.
I've been beat down, dude.
You know, I remember. Now, listen to this. This is funny. You know, alcohol always makes somebody brave in some cases.
Some cases. They're really mean.
Or really mean. But a lot of guys, you know, they're scared to say anything unless they're drunk.
Yeah.
Okay? This happened to me in England. Okay? And I may have told this story before, so forgive me if I'm repetitive because it's always the same story because it's always the truth. We got to fly business class over to London, and I know
where the story's going. I remember this.
No, this is crazy.
I was right beside you.
Yeah, I know you were. And what was funny is we got to fly business class. We got to go to this really cool first class lounge. It was nice.
Yep.
And they had no water. And I asked for water different ways, and they finally, you know, they didn't have any water. Finally, they brought the water out. I asked them in three different languages, by the way. They ignored me. So I went and got something. He came back, and they had water. And I grabbed one of the waters, and I'm walking out of the terminal, out of the lounge, and some British guy who was seven shades to drunk.
Yep.
Had his bravery hat on. I'm a British man. Watch me. Let me tell this American something. And so he looked at me, and he goes, I can't believe you Americans. And I looked at him, and I said, what do you mean? Then he stands up on me, bows up. Then this is the British guy. Now, remember, I'm in a foreign country. I'd just gotten there. I'd had very little sleep. I'm kind of aggravated. My sugar's a little bit low. And I already tried to get water. I couldn't get it. So I wasn't in a gaming mood.
No gaming mood.
Okay? So he stands up and bows up on me. He says, you Americans are so rude. I said, dude, are you talking to me? And, you know, Sharon's there. Austin's there. And he said to me, he goes, yes, you ask for water. And I looked at him and I said, what the heck's wrong with you? And I said, yeah, I asked for water. We're in a first-class lounge. I said, they're supposed to have water available. Oh, but you were rude. You asked her for water. He goes, and then he starts on me. And I looked at him. I walked up to him, and I said, are you really going to sit here and bow up on me, dude? I said, now, if we were in America, I said, there would not be a problem right now. I said, you'd already be knocked out. And he looked at me kind of funny. He goes, oh, you Americans.
Yes.
I said, no. I said, let me explain something to you. I'm in a foreign country right now. You're bowed up on me. You're posturing against me. You're drunk. I don't want to deal with you. And he looked at me kind of funny, and he sat down. Also remembers this.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought to myself, gosh, what's wrong with these guys? They got to get a good old shot of alcohol. Now, I'm not saying that all of them. There are a lot of good British soldiers out there that are pretty alpha males, and there's a lot of really good Scottish soldiers that are real alpha males. I got that. But the great majority of the guys in England now are just gay. I mean gay, as in weirdos, as in completely and totally soft. And somebody said, well, you know, not everybody's an alpha male. That's a fact. But when your whole country turns into softies, how are you supposed to defend your borders?
There you go.
I'm just asking the question. How are you, when 25% of your women are so scared they won't even leave the house of being raped and nobody will intervene, where in the world are the men? And that's the question, isn't it? And so, you know, the whole part is this. I didn't want to get in a fight with that guy in England. I tried to ignore him. He wouldn't stop. He stood up and bowed up on me. I thought I was going to get hit. And I've learned a long time ago, you don't want to get hit first.
Nope.
Kind of, because when you get hit in the face, you get disoriented.
Yep.
Disoriented. And I mean, I've been in enough sparring matches and all the rest. It's not something I don't like getting hit in the nose. You like getting hit in the nose, Austin?
I never like getting hit in the nose. God, I try to avoid getting hit in the face.
Even if you're sparring and you get hit in the nose with gloves on, it still hurts. You're like, oh, God, that hurt. And so the reality is that don't sit there and just take this nonsense from people. At least stand your ground like we do in Florida. That's what I love about Grady Judd. If they come into your house, you know, to burn it and to rob you, blow them back out of the house with your 12-gauge. You think, well, that's crazy. But I saw this morning, and I saw how pathetic it was, and I saw this doggone comedian ends up getting arrested because he makes a legit, illogical tweet. Like, if these guys are going into the bathroom with your daughters and your little girls, there's a problem.
You need to be okay with it. It's fine, though.
It's normal.
There's a reason why we split away from England. I mean, look at the crap they allow over there, man. Well, and you got to think, okay, just follow this for a second. When they're putting the basis of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the United States actually together as a whole as a country, what was the first most important thing we've
Freedom of speech, baby.
Bingo. What was the second one?
Guns.
Guns. Because the first one is completely and totally, it's unable to maintain without the second one.
That's right.
Can't maintain it. You can't maintain freedom of speech unless you have the ability to show equal or overwhelming suppressive firepower.
We no longer have that, by the way.
Well, we do in Florida.
Well, no, the government really has prevented. When we could buy fully automatic weapons, you know,
pre-86
on the Sears robot catalog, that was pretty slick.
That was the time. I'll take a BAR, take a Thompson.
Sure, bro. They were like $50 back then.
Yeah. And then they got about $200. But then that's where they put tax stamp on them at 34. They want to match the prices of them.
There we go. By the way, the result of school integration is that we now have grade for equity. And he goes, there's no hope that American children will ever again receive a proper education. To be a school teacher today, you have to be an education major in college and receive various certificates. The educational departments are essentially anti-white ideological propaganda societies. The goal is not to teach, but to reconstitute society as in a DEI manner. In my day, the math teacher did not have an educational degree. They had a math degree. That's a fact.
Yeah.
The English teacher did not have a degree, had a degree in English. The biology professor had a degree in biology. The history teacher had a degree in history. The chemistry teacher had a degree in chemistry. They taught because they loved their subject and tried to pass their appreciation on to us. Teachers like I had no longer exist. Before, education was corrupted by liberal theory and practice, and business enterprises sometimes offered prizes for accomplishments. When my mother was a young woman, she saw in the Atlanta newspapers notice that Rich's, the large downtown department store, a wonderful store of a kind no longer exists, offering even 18th century English antique furniture, was offering a silver cup as a prize for the best English essay to be written. At Rich's next Saturday morning, as my mother had nothing else to do, she went and won the prize. I still remember the large silver trophy. It would have held a pint of champagne on its ebony stand. I've always wondered what became of it. Today, if such prizes still existed, they would have to be awarded not on merit, which would be racist, but on diversity, equity, and inclusion. In other words, everybody gets a stinking trophy, regardless of your abilities. Everybody gets passed through high school, regardless of your abilities, whether you can read or not. I knew a guy, I've known multiple guys who've gotten out of high school who simply could not read. They literally couldn't read a sentence. It was awful. Saw it twice in my life. I mean, seriously, I've seen it twice with two that couldn't read at all. And I think to myself, how did they get through? How did they get through their exams? And then you find out later, they cheated their way through, Austin. And now with AI and taking online classes, people sit around in their house and have everything given to them, and they have AI write papers, and they submit them, and they pass that way, and they don't even do their own work. I've seen it over and over and over again. Cheating's always been a problem in school. That's a fact. It always has been. The problem with it is that now they can cheat, and nobody even pays any attention to it, and they make sure they get their degree. It's sad. It really, really is sad.
I think what's happened now, too, is that a lot of professors – have gotten so frustrated with it that they've given up on it, trying to police AI with the papers, with everything on it, because it's so prevalent and it's so difficult now to basically to see, because you have these, like, they'll do like triple filter it. So they'll go in and do an AI to write a paper, then they'll run it through another filter and do another filter, so it really doesn't show up any type of AI.
So now the grade depends on how well you can cheat with AI versus what you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically, so what you're learning, though, is how to use AI extremely well to get your college degree.
There you go. There you go.
At least they have that skill set.
It says, as schools increase use of AI experts, one of impact on children's development, AI creates intellectual laziness, erosion of curiosity, and stunted cognitive development.
I believe that. Reduced
problem solving in the real world. That's a huge problem.
You hire somebody who's got a degree, let's say, in – you know, whatever, you know,
even computer science.
And all of a sudden you think they can actually activate and run a computer, and they've been having AI do it for them.
Yeah.
And you say, I need this program done here, 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 and here. I need to write code here, here, and here. And they're like, you got an AI hookup?
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, I don't want you to hook it up with AI. I want you to write it yourself. I don't have to do that. Well, you have a master's degree in computer science. Yeah, I know. I cheated my way through. It's good.
Well, AI did it for them.
This one lady, she became a financial planner. Her entire resume was bogus. Bogus. She didn't have any of the degrees she said she had. She didn't have any of the certificates that she said she had. And finally, she calls me up. She goes, I don't know what to do. I think they're going to find out my resume was bogus. Well, you know they did. She got terminated.
Yeah.
So the reality is this. It's best not to fudge your resume, number one. Yes. And number two, if you're going to go to college, you're going to pay all that money and get student loans for it. You kind of need to learn something.
According to a 2023 survey of 1,000 college students by online magazine, nearly one-third said they use ChatGPT to complete written homework, with almost 60% says they use it more than half of their assignments.
75% of the time.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Boom.
That.
This is from 2023. This is 2 years old. It's even worse now. It says your brain on ChatGPT, clinical psychologist, more than 20 years and children's book author, says that AI affects critical thinking and dehumanizes both the teacher and the child.
Of course it does.
It creates intellectual laziness in both the teacher and the student. With erosion of curiosity, weakens logic and reasoning. The students aren't going to need to do the research and dig through the studies and need to find and defend the perspective. Essentially, they just pull up AI. Hey, give me this information.
They want the feudal system back, Austin.
That's exactly right.
Okay? Where people are so stupid, I'm sorry, that they just do what they're told to do without having any type of questioning ability.
That's exactly right.
They don't want the ability to have critical thinking.
They don't want us to be disagreeable either, though.
George Carlin says that. They want you just stupid enough to be able to run the machines.
Yep.
And not ask any questions. Like, well, you're going to work 80 hours this week.
Okay.
Well, now next week it's 96 hours. Okay. Well, this the following week, we're going to do 100-hour work weeks, but we're not going to give you the overtime because we're going to put you in a management position. Okay.
You're going to get a 50-cent raise.
I see it all the time with attorney firms. They hire these brand-new attorneys out of college, right? And they give them 200 or 300 caseloads. And they're sitting there like stuff stacked up on their desk, and they don't tell them. You know, they're paid salary, so they don't have an hourly rate. And they work them and work them literally to death, and all of a sudden, after about 2 or 3 years, you have tens of thousands of these people. I think it's 37,000 attorneys quit every year in the United States. Quit. This is not what I thought it was going to be. It's awful. Because they watch a TV show with Matthew McConaughey being, you know, the Lincoln lawyer, and they think, I'm going to be the Lincoln lawyer. Yeah, watch this. These guys in this gang are going to come up beside me with these motorcycles, and they're going to give me $10,000 of cash, and I'm going to have to do, you know, a few things here and there. And I'm going to have a private driver in a Lincoln. And they have to go in the back of the ground. I had a friend of mine had a wife, and their marriage failed, but she was like 80 to 100 hours a week. She had over 200 cases. Now, here's the thing, and I don't mean this bad, and please forgive me. I'm not trying to sound weird here, but, you know, I would have a really hard time keeping track of 200 different cases and not overlapping them.
Oh, it cooks you.
Oh, my.
That's why they can only do it a couple years.
Well, they start shaking all the time. They're stressed out all the time. The cortisol's through the roof because they're dealing with people's lives. They're dealing with people going to prison, not prison.
But that's why a lot of guys, when they get out of college, when they get out of law school, they work for the state. State makes you work 40 hours. You get all these benefits. You get all this stuff.
They only pay them like $50,000 a year.
Yeah. But,
and they were in college for 7, 8 years.
But you get the time under your belt without having to go cook yourself in some private firm.
That is what Harrison is doing. Austin's younger brother.
Yeah, I mean, he's smart with it. I've talked about it numerous times. And he said, you know, with the perks, with the benefits, he goes, you know, on Friday at 4:30, he goes, I'm done. I'm not doing anything over the weekend. I'm not working on any cases. I wait till Monday to start over again. And so he's kind of found that niche to make it work. As I said, you do it for 4 or 5 years as a prosecuting attorney.
You get a lot of experience,
a lot of trial time, a lot of, you know, just in-depth time. And all of a sudden now you want to go to a private firm. Well, I've been doing this for 5 years.
Especially when you're a good writer and researcher, they don't want to put you in the court. They want to put you in the back working and researching and
writing papers
all the time. Yeah. Oh, by the way, what did USAID really do with the Democrats with taxpayers' money? You guys will like this. Funding they like Butch Dyke lesbians. Got to say that again today. Talked about it yesterday. Funding LGBT communities in the Western Balkans, Albania, Bosnia, Kosovo, Montenegro, North Macedonia, and Serbia, especially Yugoslavia, before Washington's regime chain broke the country into many small parts. Promoting art by Ukrainian women. Funding climate resilience in Honduras. Funding diversity, equity, inclusion among the programs and musical programs in Ireland. Make sure everybody could dance queer. Just thought I'd mention that. Funding a transgender opera in Peru. What in the world do the Peruvians want a transgender opera for?
Well, remember the transgender comic books?
Funding personalized contraceptives for developing nations. Subsidize the illegal drug production in Afghanistan.
There you go.
Talk to you in depth about that. Funding regime change operations. Payoffs to Moldovan president, who was busy locking up their opponents. Secretary of State Marco Rubio has handed usage to the Office of Management and Budget for termination after a federal appeals court overturned the illegitimate rulings of a corrupt Democratic federal district judge keeping the gravy train going for their clients. And the corrupt Democrats were wasting tens of billions of dollars a year, hundreds of billions over an aggregate, America's money. Americans can't pay the utility bills. We're being forced to fund transgender operations and operas in South America. I'm going to repeat that. Americans who can't afford to pay their utility bills are being forced to fund transgender operas in South America because they put a bullet to your head. And they say, you're going to give us your taxes. By God, we're taking your stuff and putting you in jail. And we're going to take that money and we're going to do whatever we want to do because it's fungible. And if we want to give transgender comic books to these folks out in Peru and do transgender operas, you're going to pay for it and you're going to like it. And you're like, but I don't want to do that. Ah! You're a fascist. You're a neo-Nazi. You're a grandma-hating neo-Nazi. You're like, no, I'm not. I don't want to fund that crap. This is weird. I'd rather have you take the money. That's how I justify it. And rebuild the interstate, which never ends, by the way. I-4 is a never-ending road project. It's horrible. No, I mean, who gets paid for this?
I just saw it yesterday.
I tried to go to Atlanta the other day. I'm like, oh, here we go again.
Well, you know, and that's why, you know, and I'm not a huge proponent of, you know, Saudi and a lot of stuff they do over there. But one thing they have done right is they have no income tax over there.
They don't have to. The oil pays for everything.
Yeah, but I mean, what do you think we could do in the United States? You don't think we have enough resources and stuff here?
Well, you know,
the amount of taxes that we suck out of the population,
you know,
is insane.
When Hitler started printing debt-free currency and the boys who love their free air couldn't get money anymore from Germany, they decided that they were going to go full tilt against Germany and had to wipe out that DNA. That DNA had to go away because that group of people back there, but you know, 100 years ago, they'd about had enough of this Sabbatine, Kabbalist, Luciferian synagogue of Satan, New World Order. And they said, I don't think we're going to do this anymore.
Well, and, speaking of those guys that love free air, you know, the Federal Reserve now, they're still refusing to drop interest rates. And now Trump's considering a housing emergency declaration this fall.
Well, they can't drop interest rates.
Yeah.
They can't.
Because they love money so much.
No, it's not that. It's the fact that we have such an inflationary spiral because of all that $7 trillion they dumped in with the COVID stimulus money.
And BlackRock. Massively overhyping the housing.
So what they have to do now, and this is what they always do, they're going to come in now and they're going to rebuy. They're going to have all these people go bankrupt. And they're going to have all these people have to liquidate all of their property.
They're going to rebuy all the property
for pennies on the dollar.
That's what they did in 09, 010.
Do you remember that house behind us? Remember that? That house dropped off to $100,000, $90,000,
$80,000.
$80,000,
yep. 4,000 square feet.
Yeah, 4,000. And we tried to buy it. Not available. And we're like, a bank bought it, then another bank bought it, and another bank bought it.
It went for $80,000. Yeah. It went for closure, $80,000. Mm-hmm. I tried to pick it up. And then all of a sudden, we were actively, we had Parvin. We were trying to buy it,
offers.
I was making offers. I'm contacting the banks. And all of a sudden, it got sold to another bank for $95,000. I'm like, okay, contact that bank. Then all of a sudden, it went to another bank for $110,000. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, it went to a private equity firm, and they listed it for like $150,000, and they were remodeling it. And I'm like, well, dude, the house is double now. Now I'm not interested anymore. Now, and then they came in, they put new carpet in, ghetto rigged the back porch.
They did, fell down. The back porch fell off.
Completely and totally just patched up this back porch.
It leaked, leaked, leaked.
Didn't do anything correctly on it. And then turned around and sold it. And then it flipped out again. Yeah. And they sold it again.
Yeah, you know, it was crazy. I remember they had this back porch. It was like 15 by 50 feet.
It was a big back porch.
Big back porch. And it had all metal panels on it, right? And they didn't put any flashing from the roof into the panels. And it leaked right there with the roof.
And they didn't use hardy board either.
No, and they used regular timber, regular pine. And because
all rotted.
All the fascia had rotted. Instead of fixing the roof and using flashing for the doggone porch, they didn't do that. They ended up putting regular pine instead of hardy board back on it, all rotted.
Patched the AC system.
And finally, after about 2-3 years after repairs, the whole back porch fell off. And now it's in a big pile in the backyard. Luckily, I have an 8-foot PVC fence between us, and I'm going to have to look at it. But what a mess.
No, I remember everything was super half-butt repairs on it.
Well, the whole house was a stick frame house with vinyl siding, which it wasn't block. And so in Florida, that means that's a termite feast.
And it's hardy board at all.
No hardy board at all. So he's
saying they're going to do a housing emergency declaration because the interest rates are 7%.
He can't do that.
And that's why I said, well, the only person who could do that is the Federal Reserve because they run the entire country.
Well, they're not subject to the laws of the United States of America. They made sure of that in 1913. You know, good old syphilis-infected Woodrow Wilson. By the way, he was syphilis-infected. He was a blithering idiot before he got out of office from the syphilis. He basically decided to put the Federal Reserve in and get us into World
War
One.
This is how they spin it. They said the U.S. real estate market experienced a post-pandemic boom, which it did with all the money was injected, driven by low housing inventory, surging demand, and near-zero interest rates. Now, remember, don't forget what happened in 2021. During the pandemic, when the United States opened back up, the entire border system got flooded. Biden put on the Krispy Kreme.
20 million people.
And all of a sudden, everybody's going, we have this housing crisis. There's not enough houses. I said, the population growth hasn't gone up 20, 30 million people as far as in natural organic growth. How in the world do we have a housing crisis? How do we not have enough houses? Oh, it's a housing crisis. We don't have houses. So, well, yeah, he's bringing in 5 million people, 10 million people a quarter, whatever. It's an insane amount. And all of a sudden, then they said zero interest rates, 2.5. And then everybody started buying houses left and right. And New Yorkers came down here buying stuff up for prices that made no sense. Then BlackRock came in. Remember, we talked about it the other day. BlackRock buy the house for $300,000 subdivision. Then they turn around and sell the house, multiple houses to themselves for $700,000. And then turn around and reprice the market.
Circular ownership.
Then reprice the market.
And they start marking all the houses.
All the comps. All the comps are $700,000 neighborhood
now. And now the contractors were all contracted in at $120,000.
Yep.
And so instead of making $180,000 per house, now they're making $500,000 or $600,000 per house. Yeah, they did it all over and over again. And now all those people are stuck with those high mortgages. By the way, something happened from the same Russia did this. And this is a big deal. I wasn't going to cover it, but I'm going to talk about it for a second. Russia jams the GPS on the EU chief Ursula von der Leyen's plane, forcing pilots to land using paper maps.
Ooh.
It's a big deal.
Ooh, that's big.
Okay? This is crazy. It said that, you know, what happened is she was coming in for a landing. She got into the city. And the European Commission's president jet was forced to land using paper maps after the GPS systems were wiped out at a Bulgarian airport. And what happened is they were coming in from Poland to Bulgaria, and a jet carrying von der Leyen basically announced lost all of its electrical navigation aids when approaching the city's airport. I've had this happen before. That's why I'm bringing it up. The incident is being treated as Russian interference, according to three officials speaking to the Financial Times. One of them told the paper the whole airport area went GPS dark. It was undeniable interference. Vanderhoof's pilot circled the airport for an hour before deciding to use old paper maps, as the official said. The airport's GPS could have been knocked out by jamming and spoofing. Now, whether it was Russia or not, they don't know this. They really don't know this. These methods distort or completely block access to satellite-based navigation systems and were traditionally used by militaries to defend sensitive areas. EU governments have warned that rising cases of GPS jamming blamed on Russia risk causing a major air disaster. It renders commercial aircraft effectively blind during mid-journey.
Now, that's sketchy.
No, this is a big – now we're dealing – now you're flying with compasses.
Yeah.
No, you have a compass on every plane. Just as a final backup, am I going north, south, east, or west? Because if you've got clouds and you can't see the sun, you have no idea where you are. And so all of a sudden now they're coming into this area, and boom, their GPS goes black. Well, now hopefully they did have low cloud cover and they could see the airport. The problem with that still is you have to have the proper heading on a runway, and the plane does that for you. The plane will actually GPS itself above the runway on these commercial flights, and then as the plane is landing, it turns off the landing situation, and some of them will land themselves, and the pilot takes over. So the pilot actually has to go back to the paper maps. By the way, we were all taught how to fly on paper maps. That's part of the flight program, but you don't use it after you learn it. You're kind of like, I don't need that anymore. I got a GPS on the aircraft, which is what I had. I had a Garmin 530 on my plane. The crazy part about it is that when it goes out on you like that, you better know what direction you're going in, Austin, and you better know the runway heading. In other words, you need to know what direction the runway's in so you can line up with it to land. It becomes a major problem. So this is not a joke. So if they're really jamming runways now, that's a problem. But think about it another way. If you've got a space-based weapon system and you can target GPS satellites in space, you can knock out the entire global communication system on GPS. And we were talking about it the other day. The other day I'm in Tampa, and I'm trying to find, you know, the mall over there.
Yeah.
And I borrowed a vehicle that the OnStar, though GPS was turned off, and I had to try to figure out where the mall was. And I've been there a dozen times. I don't pay any attention to it because my navigation says, turn right in 100 feet. Turn left in 200 feet. And you're going, okay. And so you kind of mindlessly follow. This is the same problem, Austin, with using ChatGPT.
Yep.
To find your papers and do the research. When you do your own paper research, you've got to figure out what you want to talk about, why you want to talk about it. I remember, I'll never forget this. This is funny. I'll mention one name. Robert Shuler supposedly wrote a bunch of books. He had his name on a bunch of books. I remember one time there was a guy over in Clearwater. I'm not going to mention his name. He's a nice guy. He's a friend of mine. Haven't seen him in years. And he basically had Robert Schuller on to talk about his book, Austin.
Yeah.
Now, here's the problem. This guy really thought that Robert Schuller had written the book and had read the book. He really did. His name was Dan. So Dan starts turning, opening up pages on the book and asking questions about what he had written. Oh, yeah, you know what happened.
Gosh, yeah.
Robert Schuller couldn't answer any of the questions.
Yeah.
Because he hadn't written the book. And a lot of guys that are very high levels like that, I'm not picking on Schuller for this, though I didn't care for the man. A lot of people, what they do is they end up having ghostwriters write the book. And they don't really have, you know, the ability to discuss the book because they didn't write it themselves. And what they'll do, they'll send a list of questions to the host, and they have the answers. So they know what to say if the questions are asked. And that makes the interview go very smoothly. But Dan decided he was going to ask him questions from the book. Let's turn to page 151.
Yeah.
In this paragraph, you said, and oh, my gosh, it was Schuller.
We need to take a water break.
Schuller got mad. He had a really foul temper anyhow. He got mad about a lot of stuff. One time I tried to get a picture with him because my mom liked him. And not now. And I'm like, oh, man, it's great. I'm glad I asked. This is horrible. But one time he was at the – I'm going to tell a story. They asked me to come speak at the Crystal Cathedral.
Yeah.
Where he was. Now, he didn't ask me. His son asked me. He was a great guy. His son's great. And as he came out there, and I came out there, and I did the top 10 foods. I remember I had to pay my own airfare. These nonprofits say, oh, we don't have the money. They had the money. So I had to pay my own airfare. And I came out there to the top 10 foods never to eat. Right? And all of a sudden, they say, oh, we had a medical doctor complain about what you said. They wouldn't air the show. And here I'm out all the airfare. Sharon and I had flown out there together. Here I'm out two, you know, business class airfare tickets to California and my hotel and everything else. And I thought to myself, you've got to be kidding me. Now, luckily, I had enough product with me for that church that it paid for my airfare and took care of the cost. But I thought to myself, how ridiculous. Because the medical people in the church were upset because I told them that high-fat lunch meats were bad and that hydrogenated oils were bad and that diet sodas were bad. Oh, my goodness. And that ADD and autism, all these things were linked to all these different types of things we were doing to these children. Yeah, no go. When you get MDs in a church and you start talking about health things and these guys don't know what you're talking about because they weren't trained in it. By the way, Kennedy is now mandating that medical schools teach classes on nutrition and making it mandatory.
Oh, about time.
Because he's had enough of it because they simply don't know anything. That's why so many medical doctors die so young. I remember years ago I heard that now the statistic may have changed that the average life expectancy of a medical doctor is like 56 or something like that years of age.
Not surprised.
Well, because they work long hours. It's unbelievably stressful, and most of them just eat junk all the time.
Well, yeah, some of them do. They work way too much.
Now some of them they learn and they start eating really clean. And they start implementing it. But I had a medical doctor friend of mine in Lakeland, 52 years old. He died, and he was in the health and nutrition, but he was taking the wrong supplements and sucking down calcium carbonate, and that's why he had a heart attack. Then he had another heart attack and then died. I mean, horrible when that happens to these young guys. But the reality is you can't be putting calcium carbonate in your body in supplement form. They use it as a binding agent, Austin. You won't find that in my product. I won't put it in there. It's horrible. It's like eating rock.
No.
It hardens the arteries, by the way.
It's stone. Yeah. This has been pretty wild now. We've had 8 U.S. warships pass through the Panama Canal. And last week.
Time to invade Venezuela.
Hey,
we've done the Panama Canal before. Austin has too. If you haven't done it, that's a great, great cruise.
Another day, another dollar, another war.
I love that view. Look at this. Look at how that.
That was built. I forgot which one that was built with the constraints to be able to just barely fit through.
They have to get through the canal.
Yeah. You know? They said 8 warships, including submarines, 2,000 Marines, guided missile cruiser, nuclear power fast attack submarine.
Hey, Venezuela, we want your oil.
Gosh. Talk about a show of force.
You have the largest oil supplies in the world.
And it's ours now.
And, you know, and we want free air. We're going to breathe it. And by the way, we'll make up some excuse to attack you and invade you.
Well, Donald Trump has now said Maduro is the largest narcotics trafficker in the entire world.
He doesn't know that.
That's what he says right here.
I know, but he doesn't know that.
I know he doesn't know that at all.
you know who the largest traffics is?
Mossad and CIA.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, we already know.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting. We're sending some pretty significant show of force with 2,000 corps over there.
Look what we did to Egypt. Look what we did to Libya. Look what we did to Syria.
Yep.
Can we just go on and on and on?
Direct military action is unlikely.
Bro.
Oh, whatever.
When you got eight warships, you don't have to do much direct action. Nobody really is going to get in a giant fight with you. I mean, we got aircraft carriers coming over there now, too.
Direct military action is unlikely. That's complete nonsense. That's like the Gulf War. I sent 500,000 troops over there, but we're not going to attack them.
No, what they're going to do is what they're going to do. They're going to have these guys positioned off as basically backup, and then they're just going to send in direct action teams off the books. That's what they're going to do. They're gonna have Delta or any of the guys go in, and they're just going to, you know.
And they won't have any ID on them.
No.
Not American soldiers.
Not American soldiers. We're not involved in this.
If this thing goes sideways, you're on your own.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Yeah, they'll send contractors in.
Remember that one movie, Shooter? They did that to him.
Yeah. They'll send contractors in or tier one in. They'll just handle business over there, and then they'll pull out and say, oh, well, we don't know how this happened.
Well, Trump's now talking about sending tier one contractors into Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah.
Ukraine.
Yeah. Oh, we've already been sending contracts to Ukraine. Academia's already been doing a ton of work over there. But I digress. Other news. This is interesting, too, now. Something I pulled up here. Where is it at? It says, Trump calls on pharmaceutical companies to justify success of the COVID-19 vaccines.
Oh, whatever.
Well, no,
still caught up in this mess.
Well, no, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been calling this out now, basically pulling these things off the market. And so Trump's come out now, and he said it's very important the drug companies justify the success of their various COVID drugs. Trump said Pfizer and other companies need to show him that is extraordinary. They've never seemed to show results to the public of anything they've accomplished. So this,
well, that's because they haven't accomplished
that's
anything.
Exactly right. And this is going to tie in if they actually get real data on this. Remember, because RFK Jr. now has forced these guys and the CDC to do a direct in-depth research on this now as far as the effectiveness of the shot.
They're going to they won't use it against a placebo, Austin. They'll put another vaccine in there. They'll probably test the COVID vaccine against another COVID vaccine.
RNA, yeah. Kennedy has terminated funding for projects involving RNA technology, which is utilized by Pfizer and Moderna. Kennedy said the technology does not work for respiratory viruses. Trump said he wants the companies to show the information now to the CDC and the public to clear up this mess one way or another. See, the problem is with this is now Trump's got himself in a rock and a hard place because he ran his mouth so much about Operation Warp Speed.
Yeah, but you got to remember, though, you think about it, let's look at it from a different perspective here. Trump's coming in now and saying, hey, we need to have some proof this stuff works. In other words, what he could come in and say is, you told me it worked. I did Operation Warp Speed. I pushed this thing for you guys. It doesn't work. You guys misled me. You lied to me. In other words, Operation Warp Speed wasn't my fault. I followed the science based upon what you and Fauci and all those weirdos said.
Well, and I do think that to a degree, I think a lot of that was happening because Trump doesn't understand RNA gene therapy.
No,
he didn't understand any of that. I think they came in and said, this is what you're going to do. This is what we're doing. It was a military op. We're going to prove this. And he said, green light. I don't know. I have no idea.
You know, Paul Craig Roberts wrote another article here, and he says, no justice for truth tellers. Okay. Yeah. And now, you remember, they took us off YouTube because we were talking about the COVID vaccine.
We get some on YouTube now, though.
We do snippets. Yeah, we have snippets.
Yeah.
You know, little snippets. We got a 3-second snippet from the show, you know.
Let's get about 3 minutes.
And it's no justice for truth tellers. The article is report the summation of recent news about Tina Peters. I don't know if you know who she is, Austin. She's a Mesa County, Colorado clerk who was sentenced to prison for 9 years. 9 years. For looking at the evidence and reporting Democratic vote fraud in the 2020 presidential election.
There you go.
9 years she's in prison now for this. She reported the Democratic vote fraud. Her crime was looking at the evidence, which scum Democrats, whore media, corrupt Democratic prosecutors, and Democratic judge labeled breaching the system, which means looking at the evidence, making her own thought pattern here. Finding evidence of vote fraud and letting it out was her second offense. Democrats have made it illegal to reveal the truth about stolen elections if the truth implicates them. A Democratic activist judge, nauseating Matthew Barrett, who seemed to be epitomizing lawfare, sent Peters to prison for 9 years for blowing the whistle on the Democratic vote-stealing operation. 9 years! To be sure, the entire country understood what the ruling was based on, nothing but political payback. Barrett denounced the truth teller standing in his corrupt court for insisting that she acted in the public interest. I am convinced you would do it all over again if you could. You are defiant. As any defendant this court has ever seen, he continued, you are no hero, you abused your position, and you're a charlatan because you told the truth. I'm adding told the truth. Now think about that. And he puts her in jail for 9 years. Mir could not have made it more clear. Peters was expected to be loyal and protect the crime. By truthfully accusing Democrats, she made herself a charlatan by failing to realize that the Democrats in Colorado, which has turned into a nightmare state, are more important than mere truth and integrity of elections. Stealing elections is absolutely the Democrats' moral duty, or the evil Republicans would gain office. How is it that people like Barrett don't get pushed in front of a truck? He said that, not me. Now, here's the thing that I have to say about this. Trump can't get her out with his. This isn't a federal trial crime, state crime.
Yeah.
He can't give her a federal pardon. He can't get her out. No. So the only person who could do that would be the governor. She can get her out. So the people there in Colorado, you guys need to start a campaign to get her out.
9 years, dude.
9 years.
Pedophiles get less than that sometimes.
Yeah, a state.
And this should get the wood panel.
I'm unbelievable.
Oh, state, too. Yeah, she ain't going to federal.
No, federal prison is a lot nicer than state. State said, well, here in Florida, state said, like, Rayford. That's awful. They can't call it Rayford. They call it Rayford. Everybody gets raped there. It's horrible. And so the problem with all of this stuff is that if you don't try to get her out, guys, in Colorado, it ain't going to get better. No. And this Barrett guy, whoever he is, if he's able to be elected out and taken out of office, you need to get him out immediately. Just thought I'd give you some heads up on this one. But Paul Craig Roberts made a really good truth on this. I'm going to go ahead and post this article that you guys can read it. But it's something that you guys need to understand, that when you're in the wrong state, it's the wrong state.
It's the wrong state.
Florida's the right state. But don't come here. We have alligators and anacondas and pythons and every
Florida's
kind of
the wrong state. Yeah, mosquitoes, hurricanes.
No, you don't be here.
Horrible state.
Don't come here.
It's bad
and
state.
It's hot. Boy, August
is hot. It's hot. Horrible state. I don't know why anybody comes here. We actually need to just.
Problem is they know they were kidding because they came here for vacation every year.
No, it's hot. Like, rains the whole time.
And they came in January.
No, don't. Now, because best time to visit Florida is the beginning of August. That's the best time to visit Florida. The best time to go to the theme parks is the end of July, beginning of August. If you want to come down then. Great place to visit.
And it's really important that you wear wool pants.
Yes, wool pants and corduroy jackets.
Corduroy jackets.
On August. And, you'll love it down here. We love it for y'all.
Just kidding. You will heat stroke.
don't come down here and sue me for that.
January, December, November, December, January, February. But don't come here.
Half of American schools now are acquiring equitable grading.
I just got covered that a minute ago. This is awful.
Look at this, though. It's getting worse now. I'm going to grading for equity policy and dismal test scores. Listen to this. The academic report in New York City said that 95% of its high school freshmen were behind in math by three or more grade levels. Three or more grade levels. This stuff just keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. The more I keep researching, the more it keeps popping up. Be involved with your kids' tuition as far as
education.
Education. Mm-hmm. I mean, make sure you're working with them because this stuff is getting so bad now. It's insane to me how bad some of these public schools are. I mean, every time I turn around, it's something else, something else, something else.
Health article. Common daily vitamins shown to slow the aging process by protecting telomeres. Massive reduction in aging by using vitamin D3.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
You know, I mean, unreal. Previous research has linked a common vitamin to slowing the aging, and now a new Harvard study has appeared to confirm these findings. The study, which was published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, found that taking a daily vitamin D pill prevented telomeres from shortening, the hallmark of aging. Telomeres, which are compared to the plastic tips on the ends of shoelaces, act as protective ends on chromosomal strands, according to Harvard release. As people age, the telomeres get shorter, which should increase the likelihood of poor health and accelerate aging, mortality, and prior studies have shown it. Research has suggested that higher levels of D3 in the blood is linked to longer telomeres. Very important, when you take D3, always make sure you take it with K2 to prevent hardening of the arteries. And they tested 1,000 people aged 50 and older, and they one took 2,000 international units of vitamin D a day. The other took placebo pills, which is a true study. After a 4-year period, the people taking vitamin D showed less than half of the telomere shortening in the placebo group. Less than half. That's a big deal. That means their aging was slowed down by half within 4 years. So I mean that's pretty important. I mean, it really.
Well, and then
really
there's a big article. Harrison wrote this last year for me. It says unlocking the health benefits of the sunshine vitamin D, and it goes in all. And this is on the website. You guys can read this for free anytime. It goes into D3 about what it does for the health, how it helps people live longer, how it improves cholesterol, boosts heart health, helps out with insulin resistance, blood sugar control, cognitive health. He just talked about game changer for reproductive health. D3 is absolutely crucial. We talk about it all the time on the show, and there's a reason why. But this is a great article if you want to read it. And got multiple references right here on the website at Team Health Masters for free. You type in, I like this. This is pretty cool. You go in there, you know, top search. I just want to look up vitamin D. Vitamin D3. Watch this. So not only do you get the supplements, you also get all the articles that we wrote. There's multivitamin poisoning you, holistic approaches. What's the importance of vitamins for pregnancy?
Now, this is the new website. This is
good. Yeah, this is a new one. My 2.0.
Well, Michael Barrett did a great job on this website.
Great job on this. It's working great. Everybody's been extremely excited with it. And I hope you guys are enjoying it. And be sure to please do me a favor on this. I ask you guys this, and I don't ask for much ever. I give you guys everything you want. Please come on here when you're on here next time and leave a review on these products. A lot of the reviews didn't transfer.
That's, we had them all in the old days. Yeah.
The problem is a lot of times the reviews, because they're organic and it's an account and it's specific information, it doesn't transfer over. And so I want you guys
We can cut and paste them if
we can manually go in and do it, which we've been doing on some of them. But I don't ask for much. I really don't. We bring you guys stuff all the time. Leave me some reviews. I'd appreciate it very much so. Thank you so much in advance for that.
I ask you to get me some new T-shirts. Built, BYLT, built. Extra large.
Eventually someone's going to buy you one.
I wear it. Oh, by the way, Dr. Phil could be in the sanctions hot seat very soon in legal battle with TBN, Christian TV Network, over a scuttled $500 million deal and Chapter 11 moves. This is wild. Now, I've been on Trinity Broadcasting many times.
Yeah.
No, this is Trinity.
Oh, it's Trinity. Okay.
This is Paul Crouch's old network. He's passed away now.
Yeah.
Trinity Broadcasting has put its cards on the pulpit, and the clock is ticking on whether Dr. Phil will be facing a judge in Dallas, possible sanctions, or to be on the other side of asking questions in a deposition very soon in his legal holy war with a Christian TV giant. And they are big.
Legal holy war.
How do the nonprofits get involved in this? That's why I said don't support your Christian TV guy. Support your local church.
$500 million lawsuit.
Oh, this TBN's worth billions.
Could we inject our money in a little bit more positive place besides suing other nonprofits?
Well, I don't know about all the suing, but we are again confronted with the same discovery failures the court has already fully addressed, declared TBN late yesterday, and an emergency relief filing in the ongoing dispute over a $500 million production and distribution deal gone bad, and efforts by Phil McGraw's Petsky Productions and Merritt Street Media to stiff creditors by taking Chapter 11 route. A couple years ago, after exiting CBS over two decades and hooking up with Trinity Broadcast in a big bucks agreement that took flight in April 2024, Dr. Phil sued the faith-based outlet for breach of contract and saw his floundering MSM file for bankruptcy. So I didn't know Dr. Phil was going through all this. Last week, TBN, who has the support of the TKO Group Holdings, they also own professional bull riders, countersued Donald Trump paper. You can read this. I'm not going to read more of this nonsense. But the reality is that you got to ask yourself, how in the world did a nonprofit end up with Dr. Phil in a $500 million lawsuit? It doesn't make any sense at all. Then when you start to see this stuff, you kind of go, no, this is not okay. I don't want to do all this. It's just this is what I want to do. Oh, by the way, woke fail. You're going to love this. I'm going to go back to Sydney Sweeney again.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Got some feedback from you on that one.
Make her the spokesperson for Cracker Barrel. They want to Bruce Cracker Barrel back.
Oh, yeah. But now 12% of Americans find Sweeney's Eagle ad offensive, and they are primarily the leaders of the LGBTQ network.
There you go.
And so I thought that was really good. And here's another really good article. Why does the far right, why does hate Winston Churchill, the accepted historical figure, you know, in the UK fight to destroy the Third Reich, is now under assault? Why? Because Winston Churchill was a Druid, and a lot of stuff that he did was basically blood sacrifices, in my opinion, including the bombing of Dresden, and people starting to realize and read alternative news like The Bad War by Mike King, and they're starting to see what happened with World War II and who these people really were, and now they're starting to question Winston Churchill. Now, the only people who don't do that are the people from Britain who basically like to get drunk and scream at people in the waiting rooms and lounges.
Okay? They don't all do that, Dan.
I didn't say that. It's just the people who do that. Okay? And, you know, and so it's interesting to me when you see this, because it's just kind of sad, actually, because Winston Churchill was supposed to be some big hero, and he was not. He prolonged the war, and he wanted Germany destroyed because they were the economic powerhouse of Europe at that time, and he simply did not want to compete with them. You think, wow, did Ted just say that? Yeah, I guess I did. You know, so it's interesting how this happens. Now, here's another article. Is AI a tool or a Trojan horse? And again, it goes back to the article that Austin said.
Both.
I am deeply concerned for the minds of our children. Yeah. Again, they want slaves who basically just all they want to do is sit there and do what they're told to do and not question anything.
Exactly right. So, well, yeah. You guys saw this today. Gold hit all-time high this morning.
I told you guys to buy one when it was about
3508 per ounce this morning on spot trading. Silver hit another all-time high since 2011. Hit 41 an ounce this morning for the first time in 14 years. It broke $41 an ounce. They said the markets are basically pushing more money into metals as they expect the U.S. Federal Reserve to cut interest rates in 2 weeks. So see what happens then.
Well, if the U.S. Federal Reserve cuts interest rates in 2 weeks, we're going to have a massive spike in inflation. Because what's happened is...
What's going to happen is everybody's going to push into gold again.
Mm-hmm. It is. Oh, by the way, is the Trump administration special envoy, Paolo Zampoli, behind the Epstein files cover-up? This is a really interesting article. I'm going to read you part of this. Whitney Webb and Mark Goodwin have just published an explosive new investigative report into Pablo Zampoli, President Trump's special envoy for global partnerships today in his administration. Could this special envoy be the main person in the current Trump administration who pressured Trump into doing a 180 turn on releasing the Epstein files? This is a question that Whitney and Mark explore as they uncover the past of the Italian-born former model agency owner who entered politics by first serving at the United Nations in support of their global initiatives and is now working in the Trump administration under a new title of the federal government, Special Envoy for Global Partnerships. Now, he's a modeling agency, and it was well known that our boy basically went to modeling agencies also to recruit people for basically, you know, his island out there in, you know, in the Caribbean. And, and this is the crazy part about
Victoria,
this.
Yeah, with
Epstein, yeah. Mm-hmm. Given Zampoli's connections to the past with Jeffrey Epstein and many others who are associates of Epstein, such as Ghislaine Maxwell and the Clintons, it's entirely possible. When Trump and his MAGA base tried to refute the claim that Jeffrey Epstein introduced Melania to Trump, they claim it was Pablo Zampoli instead, as if there's much of a difference. Zampoli seems to be an Italian mob-type figure who is untouchable. I've posted this article. You guys can read it. I'm not going to go any deeper into it because we're about out of time. But this is very, very interesting. So this whole thing with the Epstein stuff is not ending.
Good. It doesn't need to end. It needs to be continually brought up. What about the victims? What about all the kids? What about all the girls? What about – everybody's in – I think that's what irritates me so much is when you have the administration that's sitting there trying to put shit under the rug and pretend like it didn't happen, pretend like this didn't occur. Then they have this unbelievably idiotic transcript from Maxwell. Oh, do you have a list of people that got massages on the island? Dude, get out of here with this crap. They were over there doing all types of just
perversion,
total perversion to little kids, and they're going to try to play it off now and act like it's not anything. It's all gone. Wood chippers is the only thing they need. Back to gold. This is interesting. I'm not making a prediction. J.P. Morgan and their last report said they're expecting gold to be at $36.75 by the fourth quarter, and they're expecting beginning of 2026 for gold to be at $41.60. That's their bidding on it now.
They're holding it down.
Yeah.
It would be over 20,000.
Well, they're going to hold it down until they want to run it. That's the thing. When they want to run it, they're going to run it. And so that's what they're expecting, over 4,000 ounce by next year. Again, I'm not making predictions. This is what J.P. Morgan is saying in their full report they just came out with.
Oh, they found another lost city off the coast of Egypt in the water over there in the Mediterranean.
There's a ton of them over there.
Yeah.
And the Caribbean. We got some down the Caribbean.
It's funny about this because, we were in Ephesus. You were with us.
Yeah.
And we had a tour guide, and the city of Ephesus was a port town. And then what happens, they cut all the trees down. It caused all this erosion, and the port where the ships came in filled up with silt.
Yeah.
Now it's all solid land.
Yeah.
And so a lot of things happened way back when these cities basically slid into the ocean like that. A lot of it was because of the erosion.
Well, and with the flood, too. I remember when the whole earth split.
No, this was before the flood. After the flood. But what they did, they found a tomb or a statue of Ramses, who was the pharaoh when the Jews basically were put into captivity. And he basically had Moses tell you, let my people go. So a biblical figure was found to be accurate under the all waters of the Mediterranean. And it's actually justifying, because they're saying that a lot of times that you can't find a lot of these biblical figures, but they found one under the oceans in the Mediterranean.
In the Mediterranean.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting.
Well, yeah, that's like off the coast of here, off the Caribbean, we have...
we have cities in
allegedly
there.
Atlantis.
And Rhodes.
Yeah, Rhodes. You can see
but
it.
Now, that was the pre-Adamic race.
Yeah.
That was before the flood.
That'd be pretty doggone cool, though. I mean, whatever result, whatever it was before that, I mean, the amount of infrastructure that's down there that has managed to be maintained under the salt water for that long.
Well, also remember, this is kind of weird because you've got that, Bermuda Triangle.
Correct.
And all of these ships and all
weird stuff
and all
over
these
there.
Planes just
everybody
disappear.
Avoids it.
Yeah. Compasses start spinning on
everybody
airplanes.
Avoids
they can't
it.
Find their way back to the coast. And they find their, they just disappear.
Was that some big pyramid portal that was, you know, with Atlantis?
I think what it was, I think they had a bunch of energy fields that were probably still active from the pyramids they had and from the type of technology they were using.
It still throws
my
off
opinion
everything.
I have no idea if I'm accurate or not, and so they're still throwing off some stuff as far as messing up the compasses and GPS.
Well, I know they avoid it as far as planes won't fly in that certain area.
Well, they were told not to,
yeah,
you know, by all of our pilots. You don't fly out there
to,
just don't go out there, just stay away from it because your compasses, because that one group of that squadron from World War II, they flew out there,
yeah,
and they radio back, we can't find anything, our compasses are spinning.
Yeah.
And now remember what I told you, when you have a GPS go out on these planes that are trying to land,
you go back to your compass.
You go back to your compass. So all of a sudden, you don't have a GPS.
The compass is spinning.
What's going to happen is you're going to turn the wrong direction. You'll head east. If you got clouds, you don't know what direction you're going.
Well, no, it's cloud cover. You start going in circles, too, though. That's what happens out there.
They taught us that if we lose our GPS, make sure we use our compass. And just like they always said, well, if you're going to fly to Florida, go south.
Yeah.
And sooner or later, you're going to run into something.
You fall in the sun.
And if you run into the Gulf, then what you do, you basically, you go on go towards the panhandle, go back to where you're going to find. You can find your way home. But if you don't have the compass, you can do it by that, by dead reckoning. But, boy, if you don't have sun and you don't have any visibility underneath you, you're in trouble.
If it's night and it's cloudy and you lose your compass in the Bermuda Triangle, that's what I was
– Well, no, I remember one time I took off out of it wasn't Naples. It was right north of there. And I remember – he had me fly into a black sky with all clouds, no stars.
I remember that when you had that happen.
And I turned the plane and almost put it into a spiral. This was during my training.
Yeah.
And he goes, 90% of the people who fly into this condition, they lose the plane and they're dead within 30 seconds. He corrected me immediately.
Yeah.
He said, I'm sitting there going, what just happened? After that, I was like, I don't want to fly at night anymore.
Well, he flew out towards the Gulf, didn't he?
No, he flew me out into the Gulf of Mexico, into black skies with clouds with no stars.
Yeah.
And he asked me just to make an easy turn back to the coast where I could see lights.
Yeah.
But in front of me, it's pitch black, and you completely have spatial disorientation most of the time with that. You don't know if you're up or down. I never thought I'd experience that. I never thought it, but I did.
I remember when you came back.
It was awful.
You were all stressed out.
I had some gray hair from that one.
It's just a nightmare. I was like, what happened to training? He's like, you want to talk about it.
Well, no. After that happened, after I finished my required night landings.
Yeah.
I was done. I never flew at night again.
No, I know. Every time we've gone out, when you used to have the 210, you're always like, we gotta be home by sunset.
Yeah,
I'm like, why? You're like, I'm not flying tonight. I'm not dealing with it. I'm like,
no, okay. Not dealing.
It's fair enough.
It's just not something I want to do again.
Well, we got to be here for you guys. I mean, we can't.
That's why they used the whole. See, my plane didn't have the navigation aid that would fly it home with me.
Right.
It wouldn't do that. I would say on course heading, it would do that. But it would, wing leveler, basically what it was. But it didn't have all that advanced.
Well, all that advanced is expensive. I mean, all those fancy planes they got.
Oh my gosh, they have hundreds of thousands of dollars of GPS.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff on there. So again, guys, thank you for the support and the emails. Thank you for. I'm getting caught up. I was going over some over the weekend for Labor Day. Hope you guys had a good Labor Day. Hope you guys enjoyed yesterday's show. We brought it in just for you guys for Labor Day. Had a lot of funny stuff we talked about yesterday, a lot of good content. So be sure to check that show out. And also, too, the collagen on sale for product of the week. The 10-ounce is the only one that we have in stock right now. The 20-ounce will be in, I don't know, it's en route. Hopefully we should have it next couple weeks. But the 10-ounce one, exact same product. You guys know. Had it up here on the show at all time. He had it earlier. That's a full one.
I think I opened it this morning. Is it open?
This one?
I did.
Oh, it was almost full.
Yeah,
I
should have opened the one that was.
I know.
After I opened, I thought about that. But it's all right. I use 4 scoops a day. I'll go through it.
This is the one I opened.
I know. I put 2 of them now.
You got 2 open ones.
So we lost 2 units of inventory here. But this
that's
is
nice.
I'm using them. Yeah, almost all these purple stick boxes around us, by the way, are empty because we've used
they
them.
They are getting empty.
By the way, there was a push for a traditional marriage parade, and it rocked a small Iowa town. A Baptist preacher had enough of it and decided to issue a parade that we're going to have a real marriage, traditional marriage parade, and basically
straight parade.
It was a straight parade.
That's funny.
It was Ottumwa, Iowa. I've never heard of it. The American Culture Wars arrived at a small town in June as the city council prepared to pass its annual Pride Month proclamation.
Oh, gosh.
Normally a routine turning of the gears of local government. And so this preacher, I got to give him credit for it. I only hope he's not a Mason. Just thought I'd mention that with these Baptist preachers. Wanted to say, hey, look, traditional marriage, we're going to have a parade to promote traditional marriage. But here's the thing about Frost Austin. I understand what he did. I like the fact that he did it. But why in the world did it get so much opposition when we said, well, let's have a parade for straight guys and straight women?
You know, you die for your country. Congratulations, you get one day. Oh, you're a veteran. Congratulations, you get one day. Oh, you want to be gay? Oh, you get an entire month that everybody has to listen to you rant and rave and parade about your sexual deviant behavior because you're gay for a month. A month? Really? Really? A month? You need a whole month?
This is why YouTube took us down.
I'm glad he did that. But you're right, though. Why did he get so much opposition?
Yeah, well, you know, when you go to God and you ask God what the right thing to do is, he kind of gives you the example of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, Jesus created the heavens and the earth, and it's through him all things are held together. And when God says to you, hey, this isn't cool, I'm going to destroy the whole city, you know, there's a reason he's saying it ain't cool, because it's against his will.
We couldn't find anybody. That was the thing with Sodom and Gomorrah. You couldn't find anybody. Anybody. It says all the men, young and old, descended on the Lot's house, the entire city.
Man, it's horrible.
Pretty deviant behavior. Sorry. Guys, I appreciate you. Stay strong and healthy. Keep the collagen up. Give me some reviews on it. I'm waiting on your reviews. I appreciate y'all. Have an awesome night. I'll talk to you on this show tomorrow, as always.
Keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life, for he is the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. It's through him all things are held together. I love you guys. I love praying for you. You guys are amazing. Thanks for your continued prayers, and thank you for your support of Health Masters. If it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be here making everybody mad.
That's a fact.
I love you guys.